there. Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek, and I waited until the proper time to come in today. Yesterday, I jumped the gun. I couldn't wait to get started, and I spoke right over the song. Today, I waited. I chilled. I relaxed. We've got a great show for you today. I'll tell you more about it after the opening prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Father, here we go. We are about to undergo another day. We don't know what you have in store for us, so we turn to you and we ask you to please bless us today and protect us. Give us the grace that we need to give glory to your name in everything we say and everything we do. Help us with the challenges we will face today. Help us with the difficult individuals. Help us to be able to see you in everyone we meet. Father in heaven, we ask that you speak through us on the radio program today as well, so that your message can go out over the airwaves on Holy Spirit Radio during Spirit in the Morning. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, on today's show, we're going to be joined, as we are each Tuesday, from someone from Franciscan University in Steubenville. We alternate. John Bergsma takes 1 week, and then Dr. Alan Schreck takes the other week. Well, today, Dr. Schreck is going to be here to discuss the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit guides us to truth. Also on the program, author Jeannie Ewing will be here to talk about her book, From Grief to Grace. Jeannie was on a few weeks ago. She did such a good job that I wanted to have her back on to continue this discussion. All right, at my side, or by my side, whatever the word is, as usual, every day.
Good morning,
on
Gary.
The program.
Hey.
Can you just wait till I introduce you, please? I know you're excited.
Like you were yesterday.
That's right. Good morning, Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Frank Eliason, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Somebody come in?
Yeah.
All right, who's going to make...
stand up?
Who's going to be the first to make the Halloween costume joke? Frank? Dave?
I wasn't even going to go there.
Oh, yes, you were.
No. No, not today.
Don't you always wear a costume?
Wow, this is going downhill fast.
As it typically does. As it typically does here on Spirit.
We feel right at home now, right?
That's right.
So everybody ready for Halloween?
Yeah. Yes. Now, it just so happens that I have a list of the 10 most popular Halloween candies in the United States. I thought this would be fun today. We all have our favorites.
Yes.
I'm giving out a different one today.
All right, well, we'll talk about that.
Yes, Gary.
Let me just, before we talk about our favorites or what you're giving out, Frank, top 10 Halloween candies in the United States.
Okay.
What do you think? You want to start with, give me one that you think is on the list.
Snickers.
Snickers is actually number 3.
Wow.
Ranks number 3. All right, that's very good. It's good. So, Frank, do you have any ideas?
Well, I've seen a few of these lists, and I'm trying to remember the different ones at the top. One of them actually had Junior Mints at the top, but I'm not going to go
kidding?
There.
Are you kidding? Wow. I love Junior Mints.
I've never seen them given out at Halloween.
I know.
But I have to say the most common thing I seem to see is Reese's.
Yeah, Reese's.
Oh, yes.
Reese's is right up there at... Actually, Reese's is number 1.
Wow.
Yeah, very good.
Wow. Did you look at that?
No, but it's the one thing. I have two young girls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I could tell, and they just did Trunk or Treat, and I could say they separate by the different types of candy.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the big mound of Reese's.
Okay.
You know
what? They are good, though.
I still love them. And when I was young, here we go. The old guy's going to speak now. I remember when they were a lot larger.
Yes.
They made them a lot smaller. They make them a lot smaller now than they used to be.
They seem to be flat. It's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Frank, you're the marketing guy. Why'd they downsize it? I mean,
it's a way of keeping costs. So basically, the price you pay reduced by and also increasing profit. But it's actually, it's really
four
funny.
Pieces,
there's a website that just shut down called The Consumerist, and they used to refer to it as the shrink ray.
Well, before why don't we go through the list?
Yes,
I'll give you the top 10, and you'll see some of these I'm not sure about. Anyway, number 10, Almond Joy.
Ooh, I like Almond
number
Joys.
Number 10?
Yeah. Number 10, yes. Number 9, Milky Way. Mm-hmm. Surprised Milky Way so far down.
Yeah, I am too.
Number 8, I question this one. Hershey's Cookies and Cream. In the top 10?
Not top 10. Although we do see them. Just I don't think they show up in the top 10 in my book.
Okay. Number seven.
Where are my girls' bags, which I steal from?
Number seven. This was my favorite growing up. Three Musketeers, number seven.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Number six, Twix.
Oh, yeah. I love giving away Twix.
Okay. Number five, another one of my favorites, Kit Kat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number four. And, you know, this is the classic. The classic one of all time, Hershey's.
Oh, yes.
I almost I almost always get Hershey's. So mm-hmm. I do give out the big bars.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do, you know, we'll pick one thing out and we'll get a bunch of them. But then just as the last box that we get is always Hershey's.
Yeah.
And that is if it's left over, mm-hmm. then we use it during the holiday season. We break them up for different cookies and stuff like that.
Awesome.
So
yeah.
We always have Hershey's as one of our boxes.
You give out the full size bars?
Yes.
What time do you open up?
And I was just going to say that.
You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the full size.
You bring the family. I'll bring Barbara.
My parents did growing up.
I'll bring the grandkids. We'll
and
come
so
over.
It's nice. A tradition that they started growing up. You know, we used to love it in the neighborhood.
That
and
is
so
nice.
I've always done it. So
yeah.
Ever since we've given away for trick or treat, it's big size bars.
Yeah.
You're going to get me started. Fun-size bars are not fun to me. I don't like the idea. When I was a kid, we had full-size bars.
Absolutely.
I am not happy about all this fun-size stuff.
Okay.
All right, there you go.
Let's not worry about that.
Anyway, let me finish the list before I really lose it. Number three is Snickers, we talked about. Number two is M&M's.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And then number one is Reese's.
So you may have seen it on Facebook, but did you see what I'm giving away?
I actually did, and
okay.
I think that is very creative.
So we're giving away this year whatchamacallit bars.
Okay.
So my wife
they
and I are
good.
Kids of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Whatchamacallit bars were a big thing back then, and I saw them when I was looking for what is our Halloween candy, and the kids were like, oh, I want this. They never heard of whatchamacallit. I'm like, no, we're getting this.
Yeah. Nostalgia time.
We're giving away full-size whatchamacallit bars. Each year we do try and give away something. Like we gave away Twix bars when they weren't quite as popular.
Mm-hmm.
We've given away Reese's Sticks. We've given away different things that to change it up each year. Sometimes we've tried variety, but we've realized variety never works. If you give away the king-size bar and you give away variety, or not king, the full-size bar, mm-hmm. and you give variety of choices, mm-hmm. people try and take multiples, and it's like, I'm giving away the big-size bars.
Yeah, that's not good enough, right?
You know, come on, choose one. So we don't do choices, but basically what we do is we have a whole bunch of the whatchamacallit bars, and then I will have the Hershey's. So if someone says, oh, I can't have it, there's nuts or whatever, we have Hershey's for them.
Very thoughtful.
And
it
then
is. Very thoughtful.
If we do run out of the whatchamacallit bars, then we'll go to the box of Hershey's.
Mm-hmm. Man, sounds like you have a plan.
Wow, what a plan.
I like that.
And this survey came from, what, 100 children between the ages of, what, 4 and 9 or what?
I don't know the details. It comes from market research firm Information Resources Incorporated. So sounds official.
I was trying to lighten it up.
I thought you were being silly. Well, since when did you start lightening things up?
I don't know.
I think next year we should do payday bars.
Oh.
Wow. I'm not sure I know what they are. I've seen them, but I don't know if I've ever
had
one.
Oh, I love payday bars. Yeah. They're nuts with caramel that holds them together, basically.
Yeah. All right.
But see, with nut allergies, you have a challenge with like everything.
Yeah.
Like
nougat-y center.
You try and balance all this stuff. It's really funny. When we were kids, you never heard of nut allergies.
You know, you're right.
And you know,
but it's a real thing, though.
It is. And like so, you know, I always try and be careful about that. But sometimes you just have to go with it.
But you know what's interesting? I've read candy bar wrappers that contain, you know, chocolate that contains almonds or something, and it says on the back, made in a factory that processes nuts. It's like, well, it's got nuts in it, of course.
Wait, would you say processed by nuts?
Almost all candy is made in a factory processed by nuts, and some people are so allergic that would influence that. The reality is it's very difficult to get away from being peanut-free.
Yeah.
And so you can't necessarily try to appease everybody.
No.
I think they've grown out of them. When they were younger, they were like Timmy, who was like 4 and a half, I think he's grown out of his nut allergies. I'm not totally sure, but we have to be careful.
But some of them can be really,
really
life-threatening.
Oh,
yes.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm joking around about a bar that has nuts, saying it's produced in a factory that has nuts. I mean, I get that, but seriously, that's a very, very real problem.
At the same time, I kind of wonder if it's because, you know, when we were kids, you know, it wouldn't be that odd when you were a baby for someone to give you peanut butter. You were given it at a much younger age because people just didn't judge. You know, it wasn't like you must do this. And nowadays we're like so like wound up and protected that you can't give it till they're 4 years old, etc. I kind of wonder on all that. But anyway, tonight, it's a good night to have fun. It's a good night to be around your community.
The weather will be good.
Hang out with people. Go walk the neighborhood with your friends and have a good time.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the gospel now. It comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 21. Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in the garden. When it was fully grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches." Again, he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened." What the Lord is telling us, guys, is that the kingdom of God grows little by little.
Yes.
And we're all part of that growth.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's what we try to do here. We try to spread the good news, and you, in turn, can spread the good news to the people around
you. Our faithful listeners, yes, right. Absolutely.
I mean, it's not all that difficult. Starts by being nice to people.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And then every now and then, you're nice to people. You say, "I'll say a prayer for you if somebody's struggling." Eventually, that door is going to open, and somebody will say, "Hey, tell me more about Jesus, or why do you believe what you do?" Right? I mean,
absolutely.
You start out by evangelizing in subtle ways, and then possibly the door opens, and you get ready to go in the door when it opens.
Can I do a quick shout-out? Yesterday was my daughter-in-law Eugene's birthday, so happy birthday, Eugene! And they had their pastor over, Pastor Ben and his wife Sue Jong, wonderful people, and it was a great time.
Well, very good, very good. Sounds like it was
a
great time.
Thank you. I just wanted because Pastor Ben is very nice guy, has 2 lovely little kids as well. So I was thinking just on our festive Halloween, you know, first segment, yeah. Have fun out there.
Absolutely. When we come back from break, we're going to be joined by Dr. Alan Schreck, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, specifically how the Holy Spirit guides us to the truth. The Holy Spirit works not only in the church, but the Holy Spirit works in each one of us.
And in funny ways.
Yeah, that's right. That's for sure. That is for
sure. Time means everything.
He is working all the time.
Yeah.
Where's my music? There it
is.
Thank you, Lord, for sending me that break music. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
Need a lift? Gary's got you. The uplifting way to get through the day. Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Lord, I Need You by Matt Maher. I'm Gary Zimak. The time right now is 7:18. Well, every other week we are joined on the program by Dr. Alan Schreck, who is a professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville. And we've been talking about his book, Your Life in the Holy Spirit. Today, Dr. Schreck joins us once again to talk about the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Truth. Dr. Schreck, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Gary?
Always good when you're here, good. My friend.
Thank you.
All right. So today we're going to talk about, continuing in your book, Your Life in the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about the fact that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. Dr. Schreck, you make the point in your book that often those who heard Jesus, even his closest disciples, did not understand his teaching or the meaning of his works. Does that illustrate the fact that they had not yet received the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, I think so, Gary. That title, Spirit of Truth, mm-hmm. that we're talking about today, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth, Jesus uses that in John's Gospel. It is at the Last Supper. He's in this great high priestly discourse. And anyway, when he tells... He's talking with the 12 at the Last Supper, and he says, "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now."
Yeah.
He knows that they haven't understood everything. But then he makes this promise, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he goes on, he won't speak on his own. He'll declare to you all that, you know, he has revealed, and even things to come. So, yeah, Jesus knew that we can't understand his teaching fully, or at all, really, unless the Holy Spirit shows us, wow, this is the truth, and as time goes on, to understand that truth really more fully. I joke with my students. I said, you know, Jesus, if I'm preparing for the final exam, you know, mm-hmm. if I were, this is Jesus' last meeting with his apostles, he would have said, there are many things I have to say to you, but you can't bear them now, so get out your notebooks, and this is your last chance to get it right. But Jesus says, no, that don't worry, because I'm going to send you the Spirit of Truth. He will teach you what you need to know.
You know, it's very interesting that you make that point, because that's not the first time that I've heard somebody mention that. Jesus never did say, take good notes, because, you know, this is your last shot. He did say, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to guide you. You know, I guess this is speculation, but do you think that the apostles at that point didn't even understand what he was saying about the Holy Spirit?
I don't think so, because they needed the Holy Spirit to really, because it was sort of a mystery. Who is the Spirit of Truth?
Right, right.
And you know, one of the, you know, there's so much confusion in our society today about truth, mm-hmm. especially about religion and morality, you know, what's right. And it seems to me the Holy Spirit acts in two ways to guide us into the truth. On the one way, the most important truth that the Holy Spirit reveals is the truth about God and the truth about how we are to live, the purpose of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, the Holy Spirit, you know, anoints us to, first of all, to recognize who Jesus is, that he is Lord. St. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 12:3. No one can say Jesus is Lord, can recognize him as the true God, except by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit teaches us that God is our Abba, our Father. He cries out in our hearts. So the most important truth that our religion, our Christianity reveals is the truth of who God is, and then how we're to live. And the Holy Spirit works in our consciences to, you know, in this hidden place in us to show us what is right and wrong. So we need the Holy Spirit to know the most essential things. We don't need the Holy Spirit to teach us science or math. Mm-hmm. Or we need the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit is sent to individuals and to the church to teach us about the purpose of our lives and who God is.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit's role, not only in the church, but in each of us individually. We receive the Holy Spirit for the first time when we are baptized, so we have the Holy Spirit within us. How is it that the Holy Spirit, Dr. Schreck, guides the church and then guides each one of us individually? And the reason I ask this is because many Christians, many non-Catholic Christians, believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit allows them to individually interpret Scripture.
Yeah, well, we as Catholics agree with all of our other Christian brethren that the Holy Spirit inspired the sacred Scripture, the Bible.
Right, right.
So we're in agreement on that, but you're right, the key is, how do we interpret this Bible? It's interesting, in Jesus is talking about the Spirit of Truth in John's Gospel, he doesn't say to him, I'm going to send you the Spirit to inspire this book, to lead you into all truth.
Yeah.
He makes it a personal promise that I will, and we understand this as Catholics, is the Spirit is given to the church, to these people. He's speaking to the apostles, and he had trained them to be the teachers of the truth. He gave them special instructions about what his teaching meant. And so we as Catholics believe, yeah, the Bible could be interpreted many different ways. We also need the Spirit of Truth to understand the meaning of that Scripture. And we believe as Catholics that it is through the leaders of the church, and we believe there are bishops and the Pope, that they have been given the Spirit of Truth in a special way to help us to understand rightly the meaning of the Scripture and other things that God would have us understand about how, again, not about science or physical things, but about the important things of how we're to live. So the Spirit is given to us as individuals to recognize Jesus as Lord, but in those questions about what is the meaning of Scripture or what is how are we really to understand what the Spirit is saying, we believe we need a teaching authority, and that we say that's based on the fact that Jesus gave the Spirit to teach the meaning of his gospel, especially to the apostles, and the apostles handed that on to the ones who succeeded them in leading the church.
Would it be fair to say that since I have the gift of the Holy Spirit, that I'm free to read Scripture and interpret it, but if I get to a point where my interpretation disagrees with the official interpretation of the church, then I need to yield to the church? Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's true. And that's really a gift. And some people
right.
say, oh, that's sort of restrictive. But to say, wow, isn't it the Holy... Today, Jesus also says in that discourse that the Spirit is the Spirit to unify us, and we have to be united in truth. You know, today today is the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Protestant Reformation,
right.
And we need to pray that the Spirit of Truth will bring us together as Christians, and we as Catholics wanted to say, at least consider, all you Christians, that this teaching office that helps us in interpreting the Scripture isn't just a restriction, it's really a gift. And so we as Catholics believe that the Spirit of Truth working through the leaders of the church, the bishops, the Pope, isn't a restriction, but it's a way to keep us in unity. And we know we have things to, you know, overcome, and we've made mistakes as the church, but we need the Spirit to bring us together in truth.
Absolutely. And Dr. Schreck, we have about 2 minutes left in this segment. I want to ask you this. When I read the Bible, would it be a good idea to, before I start reading sacred Scripture, ask the Holy Spirit to help me understand what I'm about to read?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, because otherwise that Bible is just words on paper. It's
the Spirit
that makes that word come alive as a living word and to speak to our hearts. So definitely. And that's not, it's not private interpretation just to say, Lord, use your Word of God and Scripture to speak to my heart today. And so, yes, do that as you begin your prayer every day. That's great.
And that could be as simple as come Holy Spirit, correct?
Amen. That's right.
I think sometimes we overcomplicate the matter.
As I said, it's not rocket science. Just come Holy Spirit as I begin my prayer and as I read my scripture.
And
as I read church fathers or whatever I'm reading.
Right. So that extends even beyond sacred scripture.
Yes.
Right, and that's such a great point, because so many times we think, well, it's all up to us. It's up to me. I've got to be the one that understands this. But yet, if we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us, then it's quite possible that we will get a different message every time we read a particular passage.
Yep, it's got infinite depth, the truth about God. And then we say, well, thank you, Lord, also for the church as a teacher to guide us into the meaning of what God has revealed to us.
Wow. Good stuff, Dr. Schreck. I'm really grateful that you're able to join us on the program. Now, in 2 weeks when you join us again, we'll continue by looking at the spirit of holiness.
Amen. So, well, I look forward to that, Gary. God bless you today.
And everyone listening.
Thank you,
my friend. We'll talk to you next time. Dr. Alan Schreck from Franciscan University.
I love this segment. I really love this. Thank you, Dr. Schreck.
What a blessing to be able to have him and Dr. Bergsma, two of the top Catholic theologians, the top Catholic professors in the country on Spirit in the Morning.
Yeah, really. Good stuff. So simple.
Yep.
You know, don't overcomplicate it.
That's right.
Come Holy Spirit.
When we come back, Jeannie Ewing, and we'll be talking from grief to grace. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The special counsel investigating possible coordination between the Kremlin and Donald Trump's presidential campaign members has indicted its former chairman, Paul Manafort. Special counsel Robert Mueller also revealed how a campaign advisor, George Papadopoulos, lied to the FBI about meetings with Russian intermediaries. Papadopoulos has pleaded guilty. Manafort and a business associate, Rick Gates, have pleaded not guilty in federal court and are under house arrest. The Vatican is hosting a conference next week aimed at trying to head off a threatened nuclear confrontation between the U.S. and North Korea, bringing together 11 Nobel Peace laureates and top UN and NATO officials, as well as ambassadors from key countries. Vatican spokesman Greg Burke said yesterday that the November 10th to 11th conference was part of the Vatican's longstanding effort to promote a nuclear weapons-free world. But he denied that the conference, first reported by La Repubblica, represented a mediation effort by Pope Francis. The Holy Father has already urged Washington and Pyongyang to step back from the brink of war and has urged mediation efforts by others. And Game 6 of the World Series is tonight in Los Angeles, where Rich Hill will start for the Dodgers against the Astros' Justin Verlander. Houston took a 3-2 lead in the Fall Classic with Sunday's wild 13-12 10-inning victory over the Dodgers. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Hey, this is Teresa Peterson, and I'm really excited to share with you that I'm recording a new album. Over the last few years, I've been traveling across the country, speaking and singing and praying with you all, and I've been overwhelmed by your support, but really God's faithfulness. It's been incredible to see hearts open, lives changed, and really to witness deeper conversion with the simple gift of music. And it's that witness that has really inspired this next project, which is going to be a tribute to God's faithfulness. And I would really like for you to be a part of it. I would love for you to come alongside me, where we together can help praise the name of the Lord and help the heart of the Lord be praised, adored, and loved.
Now, Teresa Peterson is a local Catholic musical artist, and she's in the process of raising funds for her new album, Faithful. To learn more, visit TeresaPetersonMusic.com.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got
so much on your mind. Nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Overcomer by Mandisa. That'll get you going, won't it? I'm Gary Zimak. Thanks for joining us on the program today. The time right now is 7:35. Jeannie Ewing is an author, and she's the author. She's been on the program before. She's the author of the excellent new book, From Grief to Grace, The Journey from Tragedy to Triumph, from Sophia Institute Press. I had her on the show before to talk about this book, and we had such a good discussion, and it's such a great topic that I asked Jeannie to come back on the show to get into it a little more in depth. Jeannie, good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning.
Good morning, Gary.
Great to have you back on the program again.
Yeah, it's great to be back with you.
You know, Jeannie, if you wouldn't mind, before we get into some of the specifics about suffering, the complexity of human suffering, could you just set the book up and explain how this book came about from your personal experiences?
Sure. Well, after my middle daughter, Sarah, was born almost 5 years ago, she was born with a rare disease called Apert syndrome, which requires between 20 and 60 surgeries throughout one's life. And it's a craniofacial condition also. I was, you know, in this phase of postpartum, this kind of funk. It wasn't necessarily depression, but I was thrown into this crisis mode, and I didn't really know what was going on psychologically, emotionally, spiritually. And one of my really good friends in Long Island had been praying for me, and I didn't know it. And she called me one day out of the blue and said, you're supposed to write a book called From Grief to Grace.
Oh, wow.
And I was shocked because it was not really on my radar. I had kind of this sense that I was supposed to write a book.
Yeah.
But at that time, I had no idea what direction God wanted me to go. And so I told her, thank you, and I'd pray about it. And over the course of about 2 weeks, the Lord revealed to me all of these events in my life that He had been preparing me for this work. And I remembered being a school counselor in high school that had an unusual number of deaths by suicide and gang violence and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And my supervisor put me in charge of the grief group. And that was something that I had totally forgotten about. And then, you know, there were other things that happened where I had lost some friends to drug overdoses. My brother struggles with mental illness and addiction.
Mm-hmm.
There was just a series of things that I realized that God was trying to teach me along my life's journey up until this point, that grief was part of my life's calling, I guess you could say.
And it's such an important topic because I know, Jeannie, many of our listeners are struggling with something in their lives. I think one of the most difficult aspects, and you know a lot of the work that I do has to do with anxiety, and I have struggled with anxiety throughout my life. Would you agree that the loss of control is a very difficult thing, especially when it comes to what you went through with your daughter, with so many things in life? The fact that we are not as much in control as we would like, is that a very difficult thing? And can that be something that really knocks us for a loop?
Yeah, that's actually an excellent point, Gary, because I think anxiety does result from when we feel like our life is out of control.
Oh, yeah.
And certainly there are parts of that in grief, because when you lose someone or something that's important to you, it's not something you chose. And sometimes it happens in a way that's very sudden. Even something that you're expecting, like maybe a long, lingering death, it's something that you think, I'm not ready to let go of this person. Right. I'm not ready to let go of this part of my life. And so we can be thrust into a place of darkness because we're in this period of uncertainty and there's all this unknown. And we feel helpless in a way, powerless.
Mm.
And so that's when I think anxiety and depression can creep into our grieving.
Jeannie, what can we do at that point? We're called as Christians to be joyful. How can I be joyful while I'm grieving?
You have to be able to let go of wanting to control everything, for one thing, like what you just said. Another thing is we have to be at peace with the mysteries of life.
Mm-hmm.
We have to accept that there are going to be questions that we have that will never be answered on this side of heaven. And we have to be content with that instead of saying, well, why me or why did this happen? We have to just say, we don't know why.
Yeah.
There are lots of mysteries to suffering. And yet, perhaps there's a gift that's packaged in this suffering for me. Maybe there's something God's trying to give me out of love for me, and that maybe I can return back to Him as a gift of love, an offering of love.
All right, Jeannie, I'm going to share something with you, and this is you and me speaking right now, and everybody else is going to be listening to us. My daughters were not supposed to be born alive. I have twin daughters. They just turned 20. Praise God, they're fine. But we dealt with the prematurity issues. They were born 3 months premature. They were never supposed to be born alive. And my wife and I have faced a lot of challenges over the past 20 years with our kids. With my career going into full-time ministry, it's had its ups and downs. It's been very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this tendency sometimes that I have to feel sorry for myself and to question the Lord and say, hey, what are you doing to me? Stop it. I don't like it. You make the point in your book that in the midst of grief, and, you know, my wife and I, we've grieved a lot of things over the past 20 years with the girls. We wanted things to be a certain way, and we've had our share of challenges. My one daughter is autistic, and, you know, things are difficult sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
In the midst of grieving, you make the point, we are given a choice to be a victim or to choose victory.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that you chose victory. Jeannie Ewing, how do I do that? How do I choose victory when I'm really down?
Well, I think I can relate a lot to what you're saying because I kind of vacillate too.
Okay.
And so a lot of what I write about is very much for myself as well as for others because I'm not perfect in this. This is just something God's kind of trying to teach me also. So I still get mad sometimes, too, and say, why are you doing more?
Right.
Why do we have more? right. crosses to bear. But to become victorious, it's a daily act of the will, where I have to get up in the morning, and as soon as I have those negative thoughts enter my head, I have to rebuke them, and I have to replace them. And so replacing that often for me is a quick prayer to the Holy Spirit to give me that perspective, to help me to see the gift in my struggle, and to choose the cross, even when I don't feel like it. And so a lot of times for me, that means it's my will over my emotions.
Oh.
So I'm choosing to live a life of victory through the cross instead of succumbing to my negative emotions or thoughts.
Wow. You make the point in your book that we choose joy as much as we choose love. And Jeannie, this hit me like a ton of bricks. You said, as a conscious act, we begin by praising God for who He is rather than what He has or hasn't done for us.
Yes.
So many times I get tripped up by that. And it's, you know, I don't feel like praising Him, but as you do, I force myself to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we can choose joy, and it's not dependent on our circumstances, correct?
Exactly.
Wow.
So I think that what's helpful maybe is to realize that the more that we practice something like gratitude or praising God, the more that we practice that, the more it will become a part of what we do feel and desire, even if it takes years for that to happen. And I think when we're in the throes of grief, it's more difficult because we kind of feel like we're in a setback of sorts.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we feel like we have to start all over again, and it's frustrating. But I just feel, and this is something I tell my girls as a parent too, is that we have to just keep practicing. We have to keep choosing what's right and what's good, even in the face of our frustrations, our confusion and anxiety and fear. We still need to say, okay, Lord, I trust you. I don't understand you all the time, but I trust you.
And the thing that I have to constantly remind myself is that He loves me. He loves me with an unconditional love. And because of that, it's easier for me to accept even the things that I don't like.
Exactly. And, you know, here's another thing, Gary, is that for me, if I look back on my life, on the struggles I've gone through before, and then what has come of them,
right?
Almost always there's some major blessing or breakthrough spiritually that's happened. And so that often does help me in my current struggle because I remember what you're saying, that God loves me, He's faithful, He wants what's best for me. And even though I don't understand what He's doing right now, I know that there's going to be something better on the other side.
And it's almost as if I have to give myself that pep talk and remind myself that He loves me, right? And I basically do that every morning. Because I'm somebody who tends to get down. I have that tendency to look at life and get overwhelmed. I mean, that's
same here.
Right? And but yet, we are both saying that it is possible for us to experience joy even in the midst of these trials and tribulations.
Yes, absolutely.
And because we're saying that, we hope you listening at home realize that you understand that it is possible, but it requires a conscious act of the will. Jeannie, the final thing, and we're just about up against a break, you make the point in the book that it is possible to experience joy even while you're not feeling especially happy. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Wow. I mean, you think of worldly happiness in terms of finding success or acquiring things, wealth, money, power. And yet God tells us that spiritual, supernatural happiness supersedes that.
Wow. Unbelievable. Jeannie, before we let you go, and we're going to have to talk more about this because this is such a powerful topic. We can help so many people with this message. Where can we find out more about the book or find out about you online?
Sure. So my website is lovealonecreates.com.
Okay.
And on the About Me tab, there are my books listed. You can also go to Sophia Institute's website or Amazon, too.
And I'll make it a point to put those links on spiritinthemorning.com. Jeannie Ewing, I want to thank you so much for what you do and for joining us on the program. We're going to have to talk about this more.
Great. Thanks, Gary.
All right. God bless you, my friend. Dave Parker,
wow.
That was a powerful interview.
Another beautiful segment. Thank you, Jeannie.
We will talk more on the other side. We'll do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse and wrap things up. Stay tuned.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. After graduating from high school in 2005, New Jersey's Maggie Doyne opted to be a globetrekker for a year. It was her trip to Nepal that ended up changing the course of her life. As reported by the website A Mighty Girl, Maggie saw the devastating effects that the Nepalese Civil War had on the country's children. She contacted her parents and asked them to wire her all the money she had saved from years of babysitting, $5,000. She then used those funds to open an orphanage. By 2015, Maggie had become the mother and legal guardian of close to 50 children, and she's helped build a community school, medical clinic, and organic food garden. Her work earned her the CNN Hero of the Year Award. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
Positively the best way to start your morning. Gary Zimak is on Spirit in the Morning.
Wish I knew how. All my fears and all my questions are gonna play out in a world I can't control.
Standing at the future is a memory. 'Cause you're already there. You're already there. Standing at the end of my life, waiting on the other side. And you're already there. You're already there. You're already there.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Already There, Casting Crowns. You know, as you face whatever it is that you're facing today, an uncertain future, maybe a problem that you're worried about, know that the Lord is already there. He gets it. He knows how this will turn out. He will be there for you. He is there for you. And He will continue to be there for you no matter what happens. Dave Parker, did I have a problem there?
Yeah. You, mic 4 was not on. And you're on mic 4.
Thank you, Dave Parker. Okay. Let me repeat that. I'm learning the microphones. I'm switching to a new microphone, so I'm
and it's working well.
Provided I turn on the correct microphone.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right, now we're better.
Yeah.
That was Casting Crowns with Already There. And as I said, which you didn't hear because I was using the wrong microphone, that whatever you're facing in life, God is already there. He's there for you. He knows that the problem is going to turn out in the best way possible. So just trust Him about that. Let me do the weather quickly, then I want to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. Currently, at the Philadelphia International Airport, we have 49 degrees. Today, it's going to be sunny with a high near 59. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 42. Wednesday, increasing clouds, high near 58. At the present time in North Wales, it's 37. In Phoenixville, it's 40 degrees. And in Riverside, New Jersey, we have 47 degrees. All right, Dave Parker, time for
Gary.
The Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. Here we go. It's Proverbs 16:20. He who gives heed to the word will prosper, and happy is he who trusts in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord, Dave, sometimes it's not the easiest thing in the world.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But as we just were discussing with Jeannie Ewing, it is a conscious decision.
Every day.
Lord, I am going to trust in you whether I feel like it or not, whether I have a queasy feeling in my stomach
exactly.
or not. Jesus, I trust in you. Yeah. I don't care if you have to repeat it 150 times each day.
Exactly.
We've got to make that conscious decision.
And ask for His help, you know, and just reach out. And He's there for us. And again, so many times, and some days are better than others. We don't have all these heaped problems on us, but some days we do, and it's worrisome. You know, we had a good conversation on break about things, and we lay it at the foot of the cross, everyone, and it's so hard to do. Make that decision. It starts with, you know, the will, and ask the Holy Spirit to do it for us, and then really trust.
Yeah,
that's the hard part.
Yeah, and it really is. And I'm still unpacking what we discussed with these two guests on the program today.
This gets really
personal, I'm telling you. I invite guests on the program who I think will, number one, who will help me out in my quest to grow closer to the Lord and ultimately hope to help the listeners out as well. And I'm telling you, these people deliver.
Oh,
and I always ask the Holy Spirit on the way up when I'm driving to the station, give me the questions, you know, help us.
Absolutely.
Dr. Schreck and Jeannie were just phenomenal today.
They were phenomenal. And again, well, that's the quality that Gary, through knowing these people, and they know of our program, they want to come on the program, but just the quality of these folks and their sharing of their struggles and their walk with the Lord. You know, and like, Jeannie, I didn't know that about her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, we all have struggles. So, we're brothers and sisters in Christ.
And Dave, that's an important
support
point
each other,
make.
Love each
we
other,
all
help
have,
each other.
We all have struggles. Just because you and me were on the radio doesn't mean we're not struggling every day to find the Lord, to surrender to His will. It's not easy for me.
Yes.
I struggle with that every day. It's a conscious decision. And as I talked about with Jeannie, just remind yourself, God loves me. He loves me unconditionally. It's like when I was young and my parents would take me to get shots. I didn't like to get shots at the doctor's office. But you know what? I trusted them.
Yes.
I knew that they loved me. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I knew that they were not going to do something to me just to hurt me. Mm-hmm. They were doing something for me that would benefit me.
Or the dentist. I mean, when I was little. Oh, yeah.
Well, that reminds me. Guess where I'm going today?
Are you really?
I'm going to the dentist
today. How did I know? Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I forgot about it until you reminded me. Thanks a lot,
But
Dave.
Have no fear, brother, you know?
But that's right. Ultimately, if you meditate on the idea that God loves you, it's going to make everything that happens to you easier to accept.
Well, Jeannie said so much, but it brings, I mean, when we trust the Holy Spirit and Jesus, it brings us calm, and we have to center however many times a day. You said maybe if it's 150 times, ask the Lord.
Yep.
We have to recenter, you know, especially if our day is being crazy with life, you know.
That's right. So. Before we go, tomorrow on the program, we're going to be joined by Father Jeffrey Kirby, who is a regular guest on the show. Father Kirby's going to talk a little bit about All Saints Day, which, of course, is a holy day of obligation that we celebrate tomorrow. And we commemorate all of the saints, especially the unnamed ones who are living in heaven. Everybody in heaven is a saint, and we're all called to be saints.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can forget that.
And we can
that.
All talk to them.
Right.
The communion of saints.
That's right. So we're going to talk to Father Kirby about that. Also on the show, Ulrich Lehner. He's the author of a new book called God Is Not Nice. How do you like that?
Whoa.
I know. I'm telling you, sometimes I get
that'll wake us up.
No. I get these books and I think, wow. And it is a powerful book. Yeah. So he's going to be joining us. Thursday on the program, we're going to be joined by Dr. Peter Kraft. He was hard to get on the program. He is a one of the best-known authors and speakers in the Catholic world. He wrote a book on Catholics and Protestants, What We Can Learn from Each Other.
Yes.
And so we've got a great week coming
up. And everything else.
Oh, and Spirit in the Morning. Remember, whatever you do today, wherever you go, the Lord is with you, and He loves you. Make sure you turn around and say hi. Talk to you next time.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.